Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi, let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
And welcome back. It's Sam Crowley from the number one motivational podcast on the planet, the Everyday Saturday Show. It's great to have you with us once again. Make sure you head into iTunes, leave a five-star rating for the show. It's the only way people are going to find us if awesome people like you, the doer, the dreamer, the entrepreneur, help rate the show. We love everybody listening inside the Everyday Saturday community. Got a great interview today. You know we keep the gates tight at the Everyday Saturday Show. It's mainly me doing it 360 days a year by myself. But every now and again, we get a great grab in this business. And James Ray is with me. I'm going to bring him out in just a second here. Those of you, if you don't know James Ray, a New York Times best-selling author. You may have heard of his book, Harmonic Wealth. You may have seen James on Oprah, the Today Show, all over the place back in the mid part of the first part of this decade. That's how I found out about James, seeing him all over the television. We're going to also talk about James's journey over the past 5 or 6 years as well. He's got 5 books. I didn't know he had 5. James has 5 now. The most recent one, Life Unleashed, a Blueprint for Ultimate Human Performance. We're going to dive deep into that. James, welcome to the Everyday Saturday podcast. Great to have you.
Hey, Sam. Thanks. It's good to be here.
You are... Are you turning 58 this year? Do I got that right? Is my math right?
Yeah, man, your math is right. And I wonder sometimes where the hell did it all go? You know, it moves really, really fast. Sam.
Yeah, what's funny is you don't look 58 though, or 57. I don't want to put the year on just yet, but I'm really like, this is the year I decided, damn it, I'm going to the gym every day. January 4th, I pretty much threw the gauntlet down and I weighed a svelte 198 and I'm down to 185 now. And I'm 47. I just turned 47 on Monday and I'm feeling, I feel great, man. But then I see you, I was like, wow, 57, it's treating him pretty good. Now, what is it? Is it diet? Is it exercise? Is it both? Is it mental? What do you say? Because certainly if you're like me, you look in the mirror and you say, you know, that face says I'm over the age of 30, but I don't feel it.
Yeah. Well, it's all of the above, Sam, all of the previously mentioned. You know, it's really interesting because as a serial entrepreneur, I have always made it a high priority, high value to take care of myself. And I'm really grateful for that. You know, it's interesting. I shared the stage with Richard Branson. You ever heard of that guy?
I have, yes.
Yeah, several years ago up in Toronto. And I heard him ask the question, you know, what's the single most important factor or principle or tool for your success? And he paused for what seemed like at least a minute. And he said, working out.
Really?
And I thought, damn, that's really good because as an entrepreneur, the number one assets that we have, in my opinion, are our mind and our energy. And so both of those things, as you may well know, Sam, are impacted by working out. I mean, neuroscientists tell us about all the dopamine and the serotonin and the norepinephrine and all those things that are jettisoned into our brain during workout, which make us more creative, more focused, more committed. And then, of course, you know, our energy, as I said, our mind and our energy. And our energy is going to determine whether we have what it takes to go the kind of hours that most of us do. You know, to build a business. So I made it a priority and it's working out. It's eating correctly. You know, I've been a car enthusiast my entire life. And if you ever had a sports car, Sam, you know that it's not going to perform at optimum levels if you're putting cheap fuel in it.
Yeah.
Crummy fuel.
Yeah.
So So, you know, here I've often said to entrepreneurs, you know, you would never, ever, ever buy a $2 million racehorse, which, by the way, some of them cost more than that.
Right.
And feed it Snickers and potato chips and think it's going to win the Derby. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And then you know, some people go, well, James, but that's $2 million. Well, do you know, it's interesting, Sam, Wired Magazine did a study years ago of what the human body was worth. Any idea?
I have no clue. God, I couldn't even guess.
I think it'll be sobering. What they did is they went to insurance professionals, medical professionals. They costed out, you know, the liver, the heart, the lungs, and the whole works. $45 million.
Wow.
Is what your body is worth. So then I say to an individual, you know, you've got a $45 million asset. Is it appreciating or depreciating?
It's a great way to look at it, man.
It's true. I mean, you wouldn't spend $45 million on a home and let it go to hell. I mean, you just wouldn't. And so anyway, you know, maybe you opened up a big can of worms. This is something I'm really, really passionate about, amongst many other things, for entrepreneurs, as well as just for living life at ultimate levels.
So there's no, you know, and I wouldn't even know what to say, phony food going in or anything. I mean, what you got going on in that 57-year-old body is strictly through nutrition and exercise. I mean, there's no, you know, you don't have some like A-Rod type of doctor that's giving it.
Well, I do. You know, I am very proactive with health and nutrition. And I do. I don't have an A-Rod doctor.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. But what I do have is a doctor who consistently runs, you know, tests on me, and I mean consistently is about every 6 months to look at my endocrine system, does blood tests. I'm very proactive about checkups and all those things. And you know, I've learned a lot of that, as I think we learn about life and business, through observing and sometimes experiencing what doesn't work. And to that point, as soon as we get done here chatting today, I'm jetting off to San Diego. I live in Los Angeles, and I'm going to jet down to San Diego for the weekend to take care of my parents. And my parents are 80, you know, a little over 80, and they really have not taking great care of themselves, and they're faced with some challenges, Sam. And I don't know, you know, life doesn't prepare us how to deal with aging parents, I don't think. I mean, it's kind of an OJT, on-the-job training type of thing, and it's challenging. So, you know, by observing that and the way they've eaten and not exercised and not taking care of themselves has even more inspired me to do those things for myself.
Now, your father, he was a preacher at the Red Fork Church of God, right, in Tulsa?
Yeah, you did your homework.
Yeah, so when you grew up in that type of environment, do you think that helped you or did that hinder your progress? Because I'm always curious. My kids, I'm always like, you can't – like, I got four girls. I mean, let me tell you something. God did not prepare me, of all people, for girls.
Yeah, God bless you, man. Wait till they start dating if they're not yet.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, it's my penance for who I was earlier in life. I grew up, man. I was that kid. I was Eddie Haskell. I smiled at the parents, and, you know, God knows what was going through my mind at the time when I, you know, but I can't, I mean, having these girls is, I love them to death. I got gray hair, though. It's just nuts. But when you grew up in Tulsa in the 60s and the 70s and you were a part of that, did that hinder your progress into the real secular world, or did it help you? I'm kind of curious.
Well, it's a really interesting question. Now, let me tell you what my philosophy is. And I think this is vitally important as an entrepreneur. And by the way, you alluded to the fact I was in the corporate world. I worked for AT&T for a large amount of my early career. And yet I believe I was still an entrepreneur even there. You know, I had an entrepreneurial mindset, even though I was on payroll at AT&T. And I've been an entrepreneur long before I could ever spell the damn word, you know, and on a bad day, sometimes I still can't, but nonetheless, here's what my experience tells me. is that, did it help me or hinder me? I believe that one of the fundamental philosophies and principles and practices, if you will, of a highly successful entrepreneur is the principle that I call utilization. And what that really means is you make everything work for you. Even when it sucks. Mm-hmm. And I've had plenty of that, as you well know, and maybe some of your listeners do too. But I think to the degree that we can take what life brings our way and make it work for us, doesn't mean we have to like it. And in many cases, we won't. But when we can ask the question, how am I going to make this work for me? It does. And so, long answer to your question, you know, I have a tremendous respect for the Christian faith. And I was, man, I went to church 4 days a week when I was growing up. I mean, everything was centered around that. And you know, I believe it gave me some real strong foundation to springboard off of. And, you know, in many cases, I had to grow beyond some of the things that I experienced in that as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I've heard both sides of that. I'm always diving, especially as I get older, deep into my spirituality. And I'm a Christian as well. I grew up Irish Catholic. I'm the youngest of eight kids. So, you know, for me, it was a lot of the Catholic teachings. And, you know, we take our kids to church. And I don't Bible thump it out there. It's not like I try to bring people to Christ or anything like that. But we have a strong faith. And I think that's a lot of the success that I've been able to have is just having faith, period. Like I shared with you about our daughter, Susan, who was born at 1 pound. And
right.
I think having faith in the toughest of times, I can't imagine. And look, I've got a lot of atheist listeners. You know, ironically enough, a lot of atheists still, they follow the podcast. But I often ask my atheist friends, I was like, when you're in tough times, what do you rely upon? Because for me, it's always praying to God. And, you know, going through very difficult times, I find myself closer to God. Those brings me closer, not to get into a whole spiritual podcast, but I like that. Those are the types of things that really interest me, especially later in life that I really didn't pay much attention to in my 20s, you know?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, Sam. And again, I'm following your lead here. But the most recent research tells us that only 11% of Northern Europeans are going to church now. 11% is not that much.
Is that
really
right? 11%.
Yeah. 11%. Yeah. And yet, about a third of the world claims to be Christian. And so, you know, there's a whole lot of different ways to define that, as you obviously know. And many, many of that 33% don't agree with the other 31% or 32%. So it's really interesting. But more and more, again, going back to this 11%, more people are using the phraseology, which I'm sure you've heard, I'm spiritual but not religious.
And yeah.
And you know, for me, spirituality is fundamental. It has been through my difficult times. And how I define that, take it or leave it, is, you know, my spirituality is my one-on-one relationship with my creative source. However I define that, or however you define that, and that's a very personal thing. So, you know, it's also a level of intelligence. When we look at developmental psychology, most psychologists use anywhere between 7 to 8 different lines of intelligence that we have within us. Howard Gardner from Harvard University talks about there's 9 different skill sets or abilities that we each have, at least one of them innately, if not 2. And that's a big part of my work too, is helping people find those things and leverage them and build upon them. Because the fact is you're not going to be able to develop something you don't even know exists. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to know it exists first, and then you can begin to put conscious awareness on it and bring willpower to it and develop it. But yeah.
That's wild, man. Yeah. That's, and I've seen the whole spiritual, I'm spiritual, but I'm not this, and I don't have religion and things like that, which I guess that's a podcast for another, cause I literally could talk about this for 3 hours. I think I have with certain people, but Anyway, so let's switch gears a little bit. I just want to address the 800-pound elephant in the room, and then we'll move on because I really find this part as interesting, but probably not as much as where you're moving on in the future. We're coming up on your 2-year anniversary of being released from prison. And,
Yes. You
know, I got to tell you, man, and this isn't personal, so please don't take it that way. I hope you have a little bit of thick skin. I think you probably developed some of that over the past.
You know what, Sam? I've had everything from the worst to the best and everything in between said, and so yeah, I'm pretty thick skinned.
I can imagine. I was looking at the TV when the whole Sweat Lodge thing went down, and I said to my wife, and I was talking about James Ray, I said, what a dumbass. Who would go into a Sweat Lodge with that type of atmosphere and think that anything positive is going to happen? Now, James, keep in mind, I was completely ignorant of any of the details or anything like that.
Right.
But in this whole motivational self-help arena, which, hey, look, I've got my hat in the ring 100% as well. You know, if people look as an outsider looking in and say, hey, can't you just take a little more conservative approach to helping people with breakthroughs? Maybe I think of a John Maxwell or a Zig Ziglar or something like that. But I got to tell you, that was my first impression when I saw you on the news that night. I remember it like it was yesterday, sitting in my living room watching ABC with my wife. And I don't mean that to be, you know, derogatory. I don't bring you on the show to call you that name. It's just that was unfiltered what was going through my mind. So I was wondering if you could just maybe respond to, was that taking it, and I don't want to get you in any type of legal trouble or anything like that, but I mean, was that kind of, when as an outsider looking in, it says, boy, James, can't you just kind of dial it back a little bit? Do you got to be that extreme with your teachings and your trainings?
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.